Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the LiveTiles third quarter fiscal year 22 results call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Carl Redenbach, CEO and founder. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everybody. I'm calling here from Melbourne. I'm joined in the same room here with Jared McGee, our CFO, who you'll hear from shortly. What we'll be doing today is just going through the highlights of the quarterly cash flow report, and then we'll go into some questions and answers. So firstly, I'm excited to announce that we included a new business in our group, HumanLink, which I'll talk a little bit about later on, and we think this is really on the path to our strategic goals, which is becoming the global leader and the world leader in employee experience. And for those that don't know what LiveTiles is and what we do, we are a software as a service platform. We work with over 1,100 customers globally. We have customers in the US and Europe and Asia Pacific region, but some of the largest companies on earth use our software to communicate, collaborate, and manage frontline workers with our Reach app, which is an employee app, and our desktop app, which really brings together all of those different systems you've got in your workplace. And it's been a challenging few years in the past, and we think that as we see companies get back to work, and more importantly, when IT systems and teams are getting back to their projects, that we'll see our platform continue to evolve and be adopted across the global workforce. So at a very sort of quick snapshot, we had an increase 14% higher than prior corresponding period on our cash receipts this quarter, Q3 that is. And, we're still set up in a very strong runway with our cash position. And probably one of the biggest things we did in the quarter is actually continue to focus on how do we improve our operating efficiency. And in fact, if we look at our sort of operating cash flow over the last 12 months, there is a 68% improvement in that. But really, we're continuing to focus on how do we get our business into the position where we continue to scale, particularly as what we think normal buying patterns resume. It was the first quarter that I've traveled out into Europe and the US over the last few months, which is great. And it's important that we're sort of starting to see our teams and really get both product and engineering, that traction going where the product needs to go, and all of the continual developments we're making with our customers and with our teams that are working on our product, and also make sure that our sales and marketing efforts are really efficient and that we can sell on scale and continue to grow the business. As I mentioned at the top of the call, one of the most exciting developments is the HumanLink team, which is an organisation headquartered out of Perth, Australia. They have some very large customers like BHP and Commonwealth Bank that are part of their stable. They are really leaders and pioneered this space of employee experience, and particularly things like leadership, wellness, engagement of staff. And they've worked, as I said, with these very, very large companies to build what we see are repeatable programs. And we're integrating our product suite with those programs to help accelerate our employee experience offering. And so not only have they got these programs, but most importantly, they have some really detailed employee experience. And that means that we're able to leverage that to continue to grow our business and our team and focus on those strategic goals. So that was announced in the quarter. You'll hear more about that as we go. We are working on a number of programs and products that we'll be taking to market, which is really exciting. And most importantly, we are really focused on how do we continue to expand out and broaden across the many pillars of employee experience, how we continue to grow that space. We do also mention that we've taken some costs essentially out of business in relation to particularly our development team, where we're focused on looking at lower cost jurisdictions, for example, Portugal, where we acquired a stake in BindTuning. We see this as a huge opportunity to not only get some new talent into the team, but do it in a really cost-efficient way. And so that's something we've worked very hard on quarter with the development teams and our product roadmaps to make sure that we're operating as efficiently as we can from a development perspective. The other side of it is working on our marketing. And really, this is all about how do we continue to get speed to market, get scale, and do it in a really cost-efficient way. And through that process, we've identified that the Philippines have already started recruiting in that area, and we're getting some fantastic results, which is really building all about building demand generation, building, you know, things like contacts and really outreach so that we can make sure that we're hitting all the markets in the right space. And that Philippines team, again, just from a cost perspective, is really going to be a critical component. And the biggest component of that marketing team is actually our product marketing. So we're doing a lot more very bespoke solution selling, where it means that we're able to talk to a particular use case. For example, you know, we've got one, you know, customer in the US that's just deployed, a very well-known brand and a very well-known pharmaceutical chain, sort of household pharmaceutical chain name that you would know in the US. And, you know, they're using our product, for example, for Extranet to be able to talk to suppliers and get all that supplier information, they collaborate and communicate documents, which is actually quite a different use case to our current employee experience. But it is dealing with employees from other companies, and it's allowing employees at that company to seamlessly communicate with their suppliers. So that sort of, I suppose, product information is being bundled up. We're making sure that we package that. We're using our Philippines team to write all the various content and digital strategy around it. And we think this is a real way to go to scale, a real way to go to speed to market, but as I said, do it in a really cost-efficient way. So there's probably lots to talk about, but I might just wrap up with a little bit more information on that after we hear from Jared, who's just going to give us an update on some of the financial details now.
Thanks, Carl. So I'll now recap the key financial highlights for the quarter ending 31 March 2022. The March quarter saw the business grow its cash receipts by 14% when compared to March 21. With a total of $13.9 million received. In comparison to the last quarter, as at 31 December, there was a drop this quarter of just over $1 million, which was driven both by a seasonality of our general collection cycles, as well as some unforeseen delays in timings of renewals and associated cash collections that were expected in this quarter. On a trailing 12-month basis, cash receipts still continues to grow strongly and is now at 21% growth over the prior corresponding period, and has our cash receipts at $58.3 million. In relation to the cash flows as per the Appendix 4C, the net cash operating outflows for the quarter was $1.16 million outflows, which sees roughly $1 million and a 49% improvement when compared to the same quarter of last year. Included in this result is a $120,000 one-off Irish government grant that was received in March. When excluding this grant, our underlying net operating cash flow was $1.29 million outflows. On a trailing 12-month basis, the net operating cash flows improved by $8 million and roughly 68% to a net outflow of $3.8 million on a trailing 12-month basis. When adjusting for any one-offs and grants over the last 12 months, the underlying net outflows were $3 million and a 20% improvement compared to the same period of last year. So when considering the net operating cash flow results, the cost basis remained consistent quarter over quarter, and the fact that we experienced a slight drop in receipts this quarter due to primarily being a timing of collections, the operating cash flow performance has continued in the right trend for the business, and as we continue to push ourselves towards a break-even point in the near future. In terms of the breakdown of the operating cash flows themselves during the quarter, which were in relation to the business operations, we saw the following. Staff costs of $2.9 million, R&D of $5.3 million, product operating costs of $3.9 million, advertising marketing of $600,000, and admin corporate costs of just over $2 million. The combination of the above cash performance and movements, the closing cash on hand at 31 March was $15.8 million, with an additional $4 million still available to be drawn on from the One Venture facility, thus bringing our total cash available to $19.8 million and putting the business in a very strong financial position to go forward with. ARR for the quarter was $64.1 million, which saw an increase of 9% compared to the prior period of March 21. When compared to the December 31 quarter, for which ARR was $65.2 million, there was a decrease quarter over quarter, and this was primarily due to an FX headwind through the March quarter of approximately $1.5 million, with unfavourable currency movements against the Aussie dollar from both the USD, the euro and the Swiss franc, which are our primary overseas currencies. On a constant currency basis, when comparing and using the March 21 FX rates, ARR was $64 million, which delivered a $5 million growth on the prior year position. Our current customer ARR retention rate over the trailing 12 months rose to 92%, which sees a 6% improvement from the previously reported position of 86% at 31 December. Our total customers at 31 March was 1,061, and the average ARR per customer grew 14% when compared to prior period and is at $60,400. So this covers the key financials for the March quarter. Any further details can now be found within our ASX announcement released today. Thank you.
And thanks, Jared. And just, yeah, my sort of, I suppose, comment on this as well. Typically, our Q3 is an interesting quarter because there's no real date either in the US, Europe or Australia for either closing deals and sometimes collecting cash as well, versus December and June, which is a more, obviously, sort of, I suppose, compelling event to help with pipeline, et cetera, and actually closing deals. So having said all that, you know, we're happy with the performance. We're very happy with how the platform is being built and continually adopted by these large companies. The projects that we're working on, which are, as sort of we mentioned in the last few calls, literally some of the largest employee experience projects on the globe, are going very successfully. And the feedback we're getting from customers around those projects is the top marks. We're getting 10 out of 10 out of the feedback for how they're being deployed and then most importantly, how the users are actually using the product. So yeah, hopefully that gives you an overview. What we're happy to do now is put it back to the moderator who will talk you through how to put forward questions so we can do a Q&A session.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star then two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. And our first question will come from Siraj Ahmed of Citi. Please go ahead.
Morning, Carl and Jared. Just have a few questions. Just the first thing, just want to clarify, the ARR that you've given there, does that include HumanLink in it? Does that include that in any chance?
Yeah. Look, it does include a little bit of the HumanLink where we've sold and bundled Lifehold products into that customer. We've been fortunate enough to be working with sort of HumanLink for some time over the last 6 months before we announced the deal. And there are many deals still on foot, even for this quarter, where we're working with some very large set of customers and some large ARR deals, but it's certainly a lot smaller than the amount of the $2.1 million of revenue that they've reported previously. But yeah, our key focus is over the next 12 months or so is converting those customers and bringing bundled products together. And we look at the likes of BHP and the Commonwealth Bank, those sort of customers. We think there's some big upside for us in converting those revenues into recurring revenues and putting our products in there.
Got it. Helpful. And just on how the quarter went, Carl, I guess, yeah, as you said, it's seasonally not the strongest quarter for you. But if you look at customer growth, I think you added 6 customers in this quarter. ARR growth, if you exclude the FX, was a bit slower as compared to December as well. So just keen to hear your thoughts on how the quarter went and just see how you're seeing 4Q coming through, especially given Europe going through a bit of issues.
Certainly, as I mentioned, Q3 seasonally for us over the last 6 years, we're only a 6-year-old business, so it's hard to get a lot of data. And the last 2 years, as we know, we've had a very strange 2 years with lockdowns and things like that. But yeah, typically Q3 is, seasonally our quietest quarter, and there's no real, let's say, defined date. We've got a couple of, I suppose, major, projects that we, and opportunities that are well on foot, and just didn't have a natural finishing time, I suppose, for the 31 March date. But we're very confident that the product and what we're doing will continue to be really relevant in Q4 and beyond over the next several quarters. And that's because we've invested heavily in the product. We've gone through I suppose all of the efficiencies around getting the product and marketing team streamlined that I mentioned. But there's no doubt that over the last 2 years, it's been a very challenging sales cycle. And we think that as we come out of COVID, as more IT teams are focused on how do they improve employee engagement, and we look at things like the Great Resignation, for example, that you may have heard about, where people are languishing in their work. They're not being connected face-to-face. We think that will be helpful to us in the longer term. In other words, our software solution, our platforms really is trying to drive engagement and trying to drive connectedness. And we have a lot of customers, for example, using the Reach platform instead of using Zoom or Teams. A lot of companies are Zoomed out, right? They've had enough of using Zoom, and they use our product to share things like, video content, et cetera, other sort of content. So we think that with all of those factors in play, that we'll continue to see growth in the short and medium term with our pipeline and our closing our deals.
Got it. And just two more. The delays in customer renewals, is that now post the end of quarter, has that come through?
Sorry, I've missed the first half of the question there.
Just the delay to the customer renewals, Jared, that you called out in the quarter.
Now that
it's April, late April, has that come through since the quarter end?
Thanks for clarifying. Yeah, so the majority have now come through renewals. It's just a couple we're still working through, but I'm confident we'll be able to get those renewed in time and build and cash hopefully close before the end of the quarter.
Okay. And last one, just in terms of the cost reduction measure that you mentioned, Portugal and Philippines, has the benefit already come through in the 3Q OPEX number that we've given, or is that yet to come? That's to flow through in 4Q and beyond?
Yeah, we'll probably look to realize the benefits over the period of time, I guess. It's been with what we've done in the period to sort of work out a strategy of how we can redeploy the relevant capital into building out that team and that function. And with that, we do think we'll see some savings. It's not ready to quantify just as yet to the market, but we do think we'll be able to realize some savings through that switch. But more importantly, I think where the benefit will really be realized is through our ability to increase our content, increase our demand gen activity, and as Carl touched on, really improve our product marketing use cases. So the benefits to be realized will hopefully come through the top line more so than just the cost efficiencies that we're looking to generate.
Got it. Thanks. Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Johnny Hinn of ENP. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. I just had the one. I just wanted to talk about the customer signings, and then can you maybe give some background in terms of how they came about, and then the pipeline, and then also churn as well, construction churn as well.
Yeah, look, I'll make some comments just around the customer signings. Obviously, as we've said, like Q3, typically our quietest quarter. However, we've seen a number of organisations in a number of jurisdictions. For example, we call out an American baseball team that obviously are wanting to connect their workforce. We call out, a large renewable energy company in the UK, and what they've done, and particularly how they've taken on the platform. So that's some of those key customer signings. We still continue to go to market through several mechanisms. So we've got a direct sales team. And that sales team is based in the key jurisdictions of the US, Europe, and then APAC. And they are broken up into several parts. So they have technical pre-sales. We have frontline salespeople. And then we also have our support teams that may be involved in the sales. So that's sort of, our direct approach. And we also are still seeing, which makes up probably close to 50% of our overall approach, working with partners, particularly when we look at places like Germany, and we sort of, we just signed up in this quarter a leading German consulting firm. But those sort of organisations, and for example, the German market is an interesting market. It requires a lot of high-touch people. We don't want to spend money in putting people into Germany, so we have several number of partners. So that deal, for example, we had a lead from the partner that would have seen that customer. It may have been an existing customer, and essentially they've warped LifeHealth product in, but that particular partner not only will get, you know, they get a small percentage upfront and a trailing for the next few years of a commission, but importantly, they're there to deploy it, make sure that it goes out successfully, you know, at that frontline sort of first level support. So you'll see in the different regions, we probably have different ways of selling depending on the markets. US and Australia typically tend to be much more direct, whereas European, we definitely have a higher partner account. But I'm not sure if I've answered all your questions, but that gives you the sort of the flavour of those deals.
No, that's good. Thank you. Actually, I had a follow-on question. In the past, you guys launched the online sales platform. Has there been any kind of deals attraction with that?
We still have, you know, we've got a fair bit of way to go with our reach online platform. In fact, the main reason for launching our new marketing team in the Philippines is to actually get the product marketing and scale, and to get that real, demand generation. And a lot of that is done through digital assets. So from our perspective, the good news is we're still seeing a high uptake of reach. Particularly, we have a very large beverage manufacturer in the US that everyone would know the name of. We've got a very large retailer out of Europe that everyone would know the name of. And those companies are really taking on that sort of reach platform. A lot of them may have even trialed reach through, through an online trial form. So that's how parts of that sales process works. And that really is all about, yeah, how do we get these digital assets? How do we get front of mind and make sure we're putting this in front of as many people as possible?
Yeah, I think, Johnny, just to add some context to that, certainly phase one of that project was to get a dedicated reach site, which we've launched in the back half of the calendar year last year. And that was really to provide a capability for anyone to go in and download and trial reach on their own. And then phase two is certainly looking for ways to commercialise that. And ideally, that model is through an online subscription platform. And that's sort of where we, as Cal touched on, we're hoping that the new sort of Philippines operation will be able to build that asset out.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all from us.
Next question comes from Andrew Dennis, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Just a couple of questions. Can you just expand a bit on the product development growth in Portugal and that strategy and how you see it helping scale the business?
Yeah, great. No, thanks. And look, I suppose we announced just pre Christmas last year, end of last year, our initial staged acquisition of a company called Bindtune, which is based in Porto in Portugal. And that company has a number of products. One of their products is called Automate 365, which is all about, interestingly enough, making onboarding, implementation and deployment of their products and our products now to be able to be a much more automated process. So the great news is that we've already got that sort of base of people, and there's roughly about 20 people in that development team. We've been during our due diligence process for that, during the process we've been working and talking with Bindtune over the last 12 months, it became pretty apparent to us that this is an extremely cost effective and highly efficient and productive area for essentially development talent. So as we mentioned this quarter, we have made some operational cost changes in the business already, which are never easy, but we've made those changes. We've successfully got together and put together a strategy now, which is a roadmap of how do we build out this team and how do we do it in a smart, efficient and cost-effective way. And from my perspective, this is one of the great things that sort of we've set up now. So from our perspective, this development team will be absolutely critical in how we go about moving forward. As I said, there's some big cost and operational efficiencies there, and it really will help our scale and our growth over the next year or two as we continue to evolve. And as we sort of know, over the last 2 years, we have been, and through our results you've seen, focused on how do we get to that operational efficiency, and that's been a key element for us. So hopefully that gives you a bit of flavour on the reasoning for being in Portugal.
Yeah, thanks. And just one final question, just getting back to the HumanLink deal, which was a really interesting one that was announced. How do you see that sort of go-to-market or offering helping pull through new customers and sales of the software platform that's traditionally been the growth of the revenue for the company?
Yeah, look, I think from my perspective, the way that we've looked at our strategy, and we put our strategy out that we want to be the leader, the world leader in EX, and employee experience is a very, very broad category. In fact, you know, our traditional products, which are the reach and the desktop and mobile app, you know, go well in the connectiveness and the collaboration components in the communications area of employee experience and engagement. But there are whole new areas that we know that we need to be working, for example, leadership, wellness, engagement. And that's really what the HumanLink have done. And they've got many years of experience in building out with very large organisations. I mentioned Commonwealth Bank and BHP, but there's many more larger names than those. They're, well, not larger, but I don't think it's bigger than BHP, but certainly large names that you would know of. And they've built programs. And so what we have a very defined strategy. You'll hear more of it over the coming weeks and months, where we're bringing to market some what we believe are world's first products in these spaces. And so the beauty about bringing these products is that we have not only the software and the capability to be able to, you know, deploy security, to be able to do this on scale with a really big customers, and they're the likes of, you know, the United Groups and Foot Locker that we've sort of discussed in the past, but probably most importantly, we've got the expertise, right? And when you're selling these very large deals, and we've seen our average contract value increase greatly over the 6 years that we've been 6 years young, I'd say, that we've been around. But as you're selling into these big customers, and they are complex sales processes, we think that if we've got the right expertise, that you know, we have got the capability to be able to make sure that we can deliver these big, you know, very big projects. So hopefully that gives you an answer. But we're really excited about the acquisition. We think it really does change what we're going to be able to do as a business going forward, and it really broadens out our whole offering to market, which is exciting.
Yep, thanks.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Redenbach for closing remarks.
Yeah, great. And look, thanks everyone. And apologies, I know if there was anyone that had any questions, please feel free to send this question to our investor relations. The details on the announcement where you can get the email address for that. But we thank everyone for their time this morning or evening, wherever you're dialing in from, and look forward to giving you a Q4 announcement in the upcoming months. And thanks everyone for their time. Have a great day.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect.